Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT, the weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Danu Parel to the broadcast. Danu is the Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Dover Corporation, a highly diversified $7 billion industrial manufacturing company with business segments focused on energy, engineered systems, fluids, and refrigeration and food. Since joining Dover Corporation in June of 2016 as the company's first ever CIO, Danu has been responsible for Dover's global IT strategy, cybersecurity, shared services, including infrastructure and enterprise applications, overall IT functional leadership, and governance. Danu received his master's and bachelor's degrees in computer engineering from Stevens Institute of Technology and an MBA from the Jones School of Business at Rice University. I recently caught up with Danu from his office in the Chicagoland area, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as Danu highlighted the importance of having the right people and expertise for the right role, be it through hiring or internal promotions. Principle 2, infrastructure, as Danu shared the various efforts around modernizing Dover's infrastructure, such as migrating to the cloud, increasing the use of managed services, and creating the first ever roadmap for IT centralization. Principle 3, project and portfolio management, as Danu discuss the efforts he prioritizes as he works to centralize Dover's IT organization, such as risk management, infrastructure modernization, and governance. And Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as Danu shared his focus on transforming IT from back office support to leading business growth, and how that necessitates IT leaders becoming tech advisors and partners to the business. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you'd rate us on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. Thank you. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Toptal, an exclusive network of the top freelance software developers, designers, and finance experts in the world. I recently caught up with Toptal CEO Tasso Duval, and he offered the following top five trends for hiring top talent.
The top five trends for hiring top talent are, one, hiring talent remotely, ensuring that they are able to work remotely and that companies are hiring talent remotely. Two, leveraging teams in different dispersed locations. If you're hiring in-house and you're leveraging remotely a bit, being open to having talent even in the same time zone is an important factor that we've noticed. Three, highly skilled teams becoming the majority rather than the lead, meaning ensuring that the team composition comprises of predominantly high-skilled labor rather than high-skilled labor supported by lower-skilled labor. Four, infrastructure being created to support those teams, ensuring that the teams in-house are connected with the remote teams that are working together. And five, flexibility with offer packages. We've seen that even the in-house talent that are joining companies from Google to Facebook and on are interested in demanding that there is a remote component to their job, whether it's one day a week or full-time, be included within their offer packages.
Danu Parel, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter. It's exciting to be here.
It's great. Great to speak with you today. I thought we'd begin, Danu, with your company, Dover Corporation. It's a rather large company, $7 billion in revenue, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of our listeners may not be familiar with the company. So I thought we might begin with an overview of the operation.
Oh, yeah, sure. I think that's a great way to start, Peter, to just give a background about the company itself. So we are a diversified global manufacturer that provides, you know, product innovation. We're headquartered right outside of Chicago. Like you mentioned, revenue of $7 billion, 29,000 employees all around the world. We have a customer-focused business model, and with that, we're currently structured and organized into four segments. The four segments are energy. The second is engineered systems. The third is refrigeration, food equipment, and the fluid segment. So each of these segments has multiple operating companies that roll up under these segments and directly work with our end customers, you know, which really enables and empowers an ownership mindset of the operating companies, you know, making close to the customer decisions while working on, you know, thousands of products. Now, just a moment to talk about these products. You know, many of the products that we manufacture may not be visible as a consumer brand, but it is quite exciting. You know, when you start learning about the range of products that we manufacture in different markets, and which is constantly improving the quality of life of people all around the world. Millions interact with our products every time and every day when they fuel their cars, reach into a refrigerator case at a local grocery store, check for freshness dates on packaged foods or beverages, or even compare prices on retail tags at a department store. You know, from my perspective, Peter, when I think about it, you know, it's quite an exciting place to be and work. When you think about, you know, the impact the products have on millions of people, you know, when you really understand and appreciate the diversity of all these products and what we manufacture and the global scale of the company, and especially as information technology, the opportunity that you have today to enable all aspects of the business makes it really exciting.
Well, it sounds it. I can certainly hear your passion. And obviously, as you noted, a very diverse set of businesses under the umbrella of Dover Corporation. In light of that, how is IT organized?
Well, IT is aligned very much to the business operating model that I just discussed. So each operating company that I shared earlier, each has an IT team that is responsible for providing the end-to-end IT function, you know, for the business. And the four segments each have an IT leader and a few key roles consolidated at the segment level. Now, for the last 2 years since I joined the company as a CIO, you know, we've been on a transformation journey of establishing the enterprise organization from ground up. Now, the enterprise organization, the vision is, you know, working with the operating companies, working with each of the segments to drive the enterprise strategy for IT, the governance, and providing centralized services. And it's been exciting for all of us who have been involved with this transformation, because it's changing the IT operating model, you know, which is historically extremely decentralized structure.
Interesting. And I understand that you were the first ever CIO. So when you rose to the role 2 years ago, the organization had not had one in the 60 plus years that had been in operation. Why then? What was the genesis of the role? How did the company come to the conclusion the time was right?
Sure. So I'm not going to complain that it took so long and they waited till I got here, because I'm very grateful for this opportunity of being the first, because it's very rare in your career that you get a chance to be with a Fortune 500 company and establish or develop the IT strategy from ground up for the enterprise and actually see it implemented, rather than just inheriting something that was already there. So it's an amazing opportunity for, you know, my team and me who are part of this journey. But to answer your question about the timing and why now, under the leadership of our current CEO, a few years back, our company had already started the journey of, you know, creating value for operating companies by leveraging our enterprise scale, tools, expertise in areas of supply chain and finance. So IT was a natural evolution of that. And also, when you start thinking about IT, there's just some clear, compelling benefits. And especially the success in the last few years as we've started has further confirmed the need for having that enterprise oversight to ensure that we're making the best investments, you know, and at the same time, having the appropriate controls around those investments. So I would say that's really the reason why now, and I think it's been a good start.
Wonderful. Also, another question with regard to how diverse this business is. How do you think about what to do from a IT perspective commonly across the entire enterprise versus those areas that are business unit specific?
That's a great question, because this is something that we have to tackle on a, you know, daily basis. And I'm a strong believer in finding the right balance between, you know, what should be centralized as compared to, you know, what is okay to be at the business units. And our initial focus of what needed to be driven centrally as an enterprise was infrastructure and security. Now, in the case of security, it is important to articulate, you know, to the board the security posture of the entire enterprise and not just parts of it. And so, you know, because you have to, like, explain that as a whole holistic enterprise level, it's important to have an enterprise strategy for security. And as a result of that, you know, develop and establish the people, process, and technology that enables your strategy. So, you know, that's really what, you know, we started off with as centralizing. And the second is really around infrastructure. And that's also clearly a strong candidate for a centralized approach for several reasons, but a few. One, it allows us to use our scale in providing a more cost-effective service. The second is it really helps us with better visibility and controls. It's important to consolidate your point of presence when it comes to like infrastructure. And third is I really think about, from an IT point of view, I look at infrastructure as a very critical aspect of your entire organization. It's your backbone. And it's important to have the right standards in place. So for those three reasons, as examples, it was very clear that this had a compelling reason to, you know, drive as an enterprise and centrally. You know, now that we've got our security and infrastructure strategy in place and established and implementations are all underway, now we're starting to look at opportunities in other areas like enterprise applications and data analytics.
And I'm curious, as you began the push to move more centrally, what was the process of gaining the support of the business units? I could imagine that in some cases, this might feel like a loss of autonomy to some extent.
No, absolutely. That's definitely the case. And I think the one thing is, you know, you and I have talked about earlier, you know, in my experience, especially even prior to this job, for the last several years of my career, I've had the opportunity and been fortunate to like lead transformations. And one thing that I've learned from that experience is it is absolutely important to never underestimate the impact of a change. You know, so when you're going through a transformation, it's not only important to just focus on the ultimate outcome that you hope to get from the change, but also it's important, or perhaps even more important, to on how you implement that change. So, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to plan for the how as much as we plan for the what. And I think in our case, it also helps that our operating companies have that ownership mindset, and they absolutely, the leaders of that company, the presidents, the CFOs, et cetera, they absolutely appreciate when you can articulate the value proposition. Like in the case of security, you know, they understand the risks and they recognize that, you know, we're only as strong as our weakest link. And so it's not enough to just implement the right security and right program for one operating company, but we really need to have an enterprise approach to be able to do that across the whole organization. The other area that's helped a lot is I look at the IT leaders all around the world at each of these operating companies as the change agents. And they're a key part of the One IT team, and they represent the change as much as I do. And then finally, none of this would have been possible without outstanding support from the management, you know, from day one, you know, allowing me and the team to like really drive these changes across the company.
That's great. When you took on the role of CIO, again, as we talked about before, just about 2 years ago, how did you prioritize some of the first things you would undertake from a people, process, and technology perspective?
When I look back, I think it, you know, becomes quite clear. First and foremost, my priority was people. You know, what has made this last 2 years successful and exciting is the time that we spend and invested in the beginning in finding the right talent. And in a lot of cases, I'm really happy to say that, you know, many of it was internal promotions. So, you know, as I mentioned, the whole enterprise IT team, the central enterprise IT team was really created from ground up. And, you know, we've been really fortunate of being able to like hire the right talent and retain the right talent across the organization. As far as the investments are concerned, we first prioritized the highest enterprise risks. And in our case, and not unique to just our company, it was security. The second area of risk that we prioritized was modernizing our infrastructure. So, which included moving to cloud, mobility, software-defined network solutions, you know, all while, you know, focusing on security-first architecture, interoperability, resilience, and redundancy. As you can understand, being a manufacturing company and diversified and been around for so long, you know, we have our own share of technical debt, And so it was important to prioritize investments to manage and mitigate that risk as well. You know, beyond risks, the next focus area was really putting the right governance around our largest investments. So when I joined the company, the largest investment was around our ERP implementations. And as you know very well, Peter, ERP implementations are not just a financial investment, but also a huge impact to the organization and the business. So when you do those implementations, it's important that it's not just a system consolidation, but it's truly a business transformation that enables the growth of the company. And for this reason, we established the first ever EPMO, the Enterprise Project Management Office, to really start getting the visibility and ensuring that we have the right approach and we're getting the best return for our investments across the enterprise. So these are just a few examples of what we started our focus on and the priorities.
That's great. And looking forward now, and no doubt some of the things you've just described probably continue. What are some other aspects of your current strategy?
I think a lot of what we just talked about continues. The transformations continue as part of the strategy. But a few themes, if I were to just highlight as our strategy, would be in a transforming IT from being a back office operator to leading and enabling business growth. Empowering the IT leaders to become technology advisors and business partners to drive innovation. You know, at the same time, you know, we definitely need to secure the enterprise by creating a security first mindset. And we've initiated a campaign called Security Before Convenience. And we're doing that by building our whole roadmap of security aligned to the NIST cybersecurity framework. So that will continue. And finally, really creating a strategy where, you know, we become an agile model of better, faster technology delivery and services and projects. So all of that really are the key themes, but talent management becomes a key foundation for any of this to happen.
That makes sense. That's certainly coming through in multiple of your responses, the importance of people even before process or technology. And sticking with that theme for a second, just even hearing some of the themes from your current strategy, I especially highlight the one that you mentioned of becoming more advisors to the rest of the organization, perhaps in contrast to the historical mindset of a lot of IT departments of being more kind of the support organization to the rest of the organization. I can imagine this being quite a cultural change for you. And I'm curious, what sorts of things have you had to undertake in order to help foster that change in terms of people or and bringing on new people that have the appropriate mindset?
Yeah, I think we definitely have been in the process of evaluating our talent pool, ensuring that we're hiring the right talent, as I mentioned earlier, retaining the right talent. And there's always a need for continuous development, may it be exposure to the new technologies and training. But for all this to happen, it's also important that there's a complete mindset change of becoming that business partner, you know, that we were talking about earlier. And this will require a talent evaluation aligned to the future state and focusing more on skills just beyond like technical expertise. You know, what really makes you that true business partner? It's understanding the business needs, understanding the strategies, and ensuring that IT is enabling that strategy. So it's something that we're really excited about, the people that we have, and we're excited about the growth that we see and what we plan to continue to do. But also at the same time, it's not just IT, but it's also something that's important is changing the perception of the business of IT. So they see IT as that enabler, that they see IT as that partner. And, you know, I always share this with my team that we have to continue to deliver to earn that seat at the table. And I think that's that whole cultural change that has to be in place. So it has to do with training. It has to do with the development. It has to do with exposure, but also has to do very much with a mindset change.
That makes sense. As you look to the future, what are some trends that particularly excite you, Danu?
I think this is an exciting time to be in information technology, right? Because just so much extraordinary opportunities to create value for our customers. The unprecedented wave of innovation has really created some disruptive technologies, to name a few, you know, IoT, big data, artificial intelligence, blockchain. And as a technology leader, you have to be really excited about all these opportunities that you have. But to answer your question, the one trend that particularly excites me, or maybe even more appropriate, that it really intrigues me is blockchain. I think there's a lot of promise there, but we're in the initial process of really trying to understand, by talking to a few partners, understand what some tangible use cases would be in the manufacturing industry. And really, more than that, understanding the feasibility of it and the timing of it. So we're in the initial stages, but you know, definitely intrigues and excites me.
And finally, Dinu, I wanted to ask you about some of the board work you do. I know that you sit on the board of of a couple of different nonprofits. Can you talk a little bit about your rationale for getting involved, as well as the benefits that this brings back to you and even to the work that you do?
Definitely. I can love to share about that. As I mentioned earlier, when we were talking about Dover and what we do as an organization, I mentioned that, you know, what really stands out for me is the impact that our products have to the day-to-day life of millions around the world. I think purpose is really important when you're working for a company. And I am fortunate that, you know, beyond my day job, I also have the opportunity to be with two nonprofit organizations that I'm really proud about by serving on their board. One is Make-A-Wish, and the second is Chicago Cares. Now, Make-A-Wish, you know, for anyone that does not know, works with children that are going through critical medical conditions by creating a life-changing wish journey. It's really amazing for me personally when I've heard some of the children and their parents come and talk about the impact that these wish and that whole experience have had in their lives while they were going through such a difficult time. So definitely, you can just absolutely see the result of the work that happens to that organization. And Chicago Cares is a local organization here in Chicago that mobilizes volunteers and to build a stronger and more unified Chicago by really focusing on some of the pressing challenges that the city has. You know, last year I actually had the chance to take my whole team from work to go help paint and garden a local school here in the Chicago area. It was a great team building exercise, but also, you know, had an actual impact through that whole activity. Amazing organizations with incredible costs. And if you get me started, Peter, I can use up an entire whole different podcast completely, so I'll stop, right?
Oh, that's great. Well, Dinu Perel, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks for listening to the Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please rate us on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please join me next week when my guest will be Melanie Kalmar, the Chief Information Officer of Dow.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy-setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.